Hey, everybody. The Prospect Podcast is here. Matt Larkin filling in for Edward Fraser as host and here with the Prospect Rain Man himself, Ryan Kennedy. Lots to discuss as usual as we're in the trenches of the seasons of so many different prospects right now. Let's start over in the NCAA and the Beanpot Tournament. We have the final coming up. So, Ryan, can you tee that up for us and tell us who to watch for, what to watch for?
Yeah, for people that aren't familiar with it, the Beanpot is an annual tournament featuring the four Boston University teams. So you get Harvard, Boston University, Boston College, and Northeastern. The semifinal has already happened. The final is now set up. You got Northeastern versus BU on Monday, and it's going to be very interesting because Northeastern has not won this tournament since 1988. And since there's only four teams in the tournament, you can tell, obviously, that's a long time to not have won it. But I really have a feeling about the Huskies this year because their lineup is just, like, primed for success. Their top line is Adam Gaudette, who's a very underrated Vancouver Canucks prospect. Dylan Sakura, who's a Chicago Blackhawks pick that's really looking like a steal right now. And then Nolan Stevens, who is a Los Angeles pick. Son of John Stevens, the coach. They've been amazing. Plus, you got Caden Primo, the Montreal Canadiens draft pick, in net. He has been one of the great freshman stories in all of college hockey this season. And then Jeremy Davies on defense. He's a New Jersey Devils pick. Now, BU is going to be very good as well. The only thing maybe holding them back a bit is Jordan Greenway is going to be at the Olympics.
Oh, yes.
So he's going to miss this game.
That's right.
However, you still got Dante Fabro, David Ferentz, Cameron Crotty on the back end. You still have a lot of talent up front. Bobo Carpenter, undrafted, but leading them in scoring. That's Bobby Carpenter's kid. Just a lot of talent all around on that Terrier squad. So that's the big showdown, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. Can the Huskies break the streak? It'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Switching over to Major Junior for a little bit, in the OHL, the Sarnia Sting have clinched an early playoff spot. This is pretty exciting because it feels like Sarnia is always that team. Doesn't seem to matter if they have Steven Stamkos, Neil Yakupov, Galchenyuk. They've had some good players over the years, Pavel Zacha, and they never seem to break through and have that deep playoff run and really make some noise. Do you think this is the year that Darian Hatcher's group finally does it?
Well, it's like I'm reticent because, just as you said, like we've been scarred before by the Sting, you know, where they've had fantastic high-end players, and they're really a boom-bust team where they get those number one picks, and then they're, like, pretty good, and then, you know, the bottom sort of falls out again when those guys leave. But they've got a nice complement of players this year. Jordan Kyrou, the St. Louis Blues pick. I mean, we all saw what he did at the World Juniors for Canada. He's had just a fantastic season, one of the top scorers in the OHL. Adam Ruzicka, the Calgary Flames pick, he's been great. And then Drake Rimshaw, you know, we're going to be talking about the Kings prospects later in the podcast, but Drake Rimshaw having a great year with Sarnia as well. Then they traded for Jonathan Eng at the deadline, the Florida Panthers speedster. So they've got a lot of good elements up there. Now it's just a matter of, can they navigate that brutal Western Conference? Now, the only other team that has clinched is the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. We've talked about them before. Eventually, Sarnia's going to have to play with the Sault Greyhounds. That's going to be the big sticking point. But I think at least Sarnia should go a round or two. And I'm going to quickly correct myself on one thing. Nolan Stevens, he's actually a St. Louis Blues pick, not the Kings. So just correcting myself on that earlier point. But I want to see what the Sting can do because it feels like this is their year to do something.
Interesting. And it's also going to be interesting to see in a couple weeks if Jordan Kyrou has a new NHL organization, because there's been some whispers of the Blues doing something crazy, maybe pursuing a Max Pacioretty. And if you do that, you're going to need to trade a top prospect. And Kyrou seems to be the name that pops up a lot. We'll see. Another tournament, an international tournament that's worth watching, the Five Nations. Can you tee it up for me? And what are we looking for? Who are you most excited to see?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a veritable buffet of top prospects. It's being hosted by USA Hockey at the NTDP's arena in Plymouth, Michigan. So, I mean, right off the bat, you get all the NTDP kids, Oliver Wahlstrom, Joel Farabee, Keandre Miller. I mean, there's just too many to mention. And Then you got Sweden's coming in. They're going to have Adam Boqvist, who could be a top five pick this year. He's a very good mobile defenseman. Jacob Olofsson, who narrowly missed making the Swedish World Junior team this year. If Alex Nylander had not been available, Olofsson might have been on that team. He's got a lot of upside as a forward. You got the Czech Republic there. Jakub Lauko, who we saw at the World Juniors. Another kid with a lot of potential, can play a physical game, playing against men back home. Finland's going to bring Rasmus Kupari, who had a very small role in the World Junior team, but a lot of nice offensive upside in that kid. And then the Russians are going to be there, and Andrei Svechnikov is on their long list, and which was interesting to me. I didn't think the Barry Colts would want him to miss any more time, but he's going to be at that Five Nations, or at least he's listed to be on that tournament. And you also get Grigory Denisenko, who we talked about the other week on the podcast, and Alexander Romanov, who's kind of an interesting player. He's a defenseman, but he's also played some forward in his junior career. I really liked him at the World Junior A Challenge, so it'll be fun to see these games. They're going to be very competitive. It's a really good field, and if you're in the Michigan area, I would highly recommend taking in some of those games.
Do you think, by the way, is Svechnikov's hold on the number two spot, consensus number two spot, still strong right now? Or do you think guys like Filip Zadina are threatening him now to overtake him at number two?
Well, I kind of see there being a grouping after Rasmus Dahlin. Dahlin, far away the number one. It's not even a question at this point. But there's three forwards that could go in any order in my mind. Svechnikov, Zadina, and Brady Tkachuk. I give the edge to Svechnikov right now, just from rumblings I'm hearing. And you look at it, he's just got the total package because, you know, he's big. He's got all the details in his game. You know, he doesn't cheat defensively. And he's so good protecting the puck. I mean, like, when he goes on rushes, he looks like early Rick Nash. Hmm. And then he's got this shot that he's very good at disguising it. And he just seems practically automatic, you know, when it comes to goal scoring. So I give him the edge. But, you know, if my favorite team ended up with Zadina or Tkachuk, I would not be sad at all. I would be very, very happy with those two guys as well.
Interesting. Got a little interview for you guys. A good friend of ours, one of our favorite Swedish hockey writers, Uffe Bodin of Hockey Sverige. Hopefully I pronounced the website correctly. Hockeysverige.se.
There you go.
And Uffe's got lots of interesting stuff to say, so let's give it a listen.
I'm here with Uffe Bodin from Hockeysverige.se. And Uffe, it's a big year for Swedish prospects overall. Starting at the top, Rasmus Dahlin, obviously a lot of hype over here about the consensus 2018 number one draft pick. What's going on in Sweden right now? How much are people talking about Rasmus?
I think they're talking about him quite a lot, especially since he got picked for the Olympic team as well, being the youngest player on the Swedish team, and I guess in the whole tournament. So the hype has just kind of been growing because he's been playing really well in the SHL, and as you saw at the World Juniors, he was pretty spectacular there as well. So I think everyone is, you know, knows who he is by now. Even like people that are not very interested in hockey, they come up and ask, like, this Rasmus Dahlin kid, is he for real? And you go, like, yeah, he's the real deal. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, like, prospects-wise, I don't think we've seen a player of this magnitude in Sweden since Peter Forsberg, when he burst onto the scene and he became this Swedish hero, so to speak. So it's gonna be interesting to see what Rasmus is able to do here.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, in the not-too-distant past, we've had Swedish defensemen who have played at the highest level when they were 16 years old. You know, you had Victor Hedman, you had Adam Larsson. In terms of impact on his team, how does Rasmus compare to those two?
I mean, I don't think any one of those players were close to as good as Rasmus is when they were his age. So, I mean, you can see like parts of their game in his game, but he's more like the whole package already. Like he's bigger than Carlson, but you know, not as big as Hedman obviously, but still got like that element of power in his game and can be pretty physical. So there are so many things. I think it was Ray Ferraro that said something to the line of, like, he's like this Lidstrom Carlson Hedman clone, like, put the best things they have together in one player, and that's Rasmus Dahlin.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember, you know, people wonder, oh, can he be as good as Erik Karlsson? But, I mean, Erik Karlsson wasn't Erik Karlsson when he was 17, was he?
No, he was like this small, skinny kid. And you went to the draft in Buffalo when he was picked, or in Ottawa, rather. And, you know, people was like, who is this kid? Like, right. Can he even play hockey? Because we have to remember also, this was in a time when you were still supposed to draft, you know, these big, powerful players that were physical. And, you know, and here comes this skinny kid from Sweden who's like probably not even 150 pounds, you know. I think Erik Karlsson, it took him a while. He struggled a bit in Sweden, and it wasn't until he moved to North America and really, you know, got some games in the AHL and you know, started to find his groove there. So Rasmus Dahlin is actually on a different planet. It's pretty funny. We spoke to Erik just a few days ago when the Senators were in Philadelphia, and we asked him, like, okay, you've seen Rasmus Dahlin play, like, can you see similarities to him in your own game? He's like laughing, but like, are you kidding me? Like, I wasn't half as good as he is when I was in that age. So that, you know, you see, like, he knows it himself too.
Another youngster that's just killing it over in Sweden right now is Elias Pettersson, the Vancouver Canucks prospect, playing for Växjö Lakers, who are the cream of the crop in the SHL. They just lost the Champions League final to Finland's JYP, but, I mean, they've had a spectacular season. How good has Pettersson been in your mind?
So much better than I could have imagined, actually, because, like, you know, he was drafted early, of course, so they're like, everyone was expecting big things from him, and he had a great season last year with Timrå. But I mean, just the way he's been scoring, and you know, you look at, like, this is historically good. It's like Peter Forsberg good. So everyone is really surprised. I mean, he's still got some challenges to him, like he's very thin, and obviously needs to fill out. But I think as soon as, you know, he just get all those things going for him, I think he's going to be a productive player in the NHL as well. Mm.
And you mentioned he was playing for Timrå last year. You know, they're in the Allsvenskan. Now he's in the SHL. Can you give our listeners an idea of the difference between the two leagues? Because it's not quite an NHL-AHL situation, and you do have the relegation and promotion. So, like, how would you describe the Allsvenskan compared to the SHL?
You know, just a few years ago, the Allsvenskan was a really vital league. Was a really good league, like, they, and it still is pretty good. I think if you talk to people in Europe, they usually mention Allsvenskan as the best second league in Europe. But like, the challenges came a few years ago when they decided to have 14 teams in the SHL, so they moved up two teams from Allsvenskan, and now they have 14 teams still in Allsvenskan. But you know, I think the level of competition has gone down a bit, but we still see, like, teams going up and down between the leagues. Everyone is worried, like, because the SHL teams make so much money out of, like, TV rights and stuff like that, and the Allsvenskan team don't. So I think people are afraid that the competition will be much tougher to get promoted. Mm-hmm. So we'll see now in the next few years when these new financial reality strikes. But I think, you know, we've seen Jonathan Dahlin is probably the best player right now playing there. He decided to come back after, you know, his mononucleosis. I still think it's a good league for players to develop. We've seen Elias Pettersson, obviously, but also Jacob Olofsson and Filip Helander, who's a draft eligible that's been playing with Timrå this season and been really good. So it's a good league for developing players, but it's got its challenges, especially financially.
Mm, fair enough. And I got to ask you about the World Juniors. Leo Sanderson, the Rangers pick, first ever Prospect Podcast interview, as it would turn out. Threw a silver medal in the crowd. A lot of us thought it was, you know, we kind of understood the emotion, and it seemed like a kid that was just very passionate and It was also kind of funny that he doubled down afterwards and said he was not sorry about doing it. I'm curious what the reaction was like in Sweden.
Well, I think among us hockey people, like, we were, we kind of understood where that came from. Like, you know, he has lost a few finals with the Swedish teams before, and, you know, just plain frustration, or, like, he played hurt, he played his heart out. It was like he really put on a gutty performance. So I can understand totally where the frustration comes from, and I think most people involved in hockey can. But the funny thing in Sweden was, like, a lot of people that don't necessarily follow the sport, they suddenly wanted to, you know, make these hot takes and, you know, just write about, like, this is a problem for the sport. This is what you make the boys to, like, is this what they become? It's like really a moral lesson, more or less. But I think, like, everyone else that's involved with hockey, they kind of understood where the frustration comes from, and no problems that way. But the kind of interesting discussion turned out to be.
Yeah, indeed. Right on. Well, Ufi, thanks so much for doing this. Always great talking to you.
Hey, Ryan, thank you very much.
Now it's time for our 2018 draft spotlight. We're going to go over to the Q, Acadie Bathurst, defenseman Noah Dobson. Tell me about him.
Yeah, Noah Dobson, a very interesting path to where he is today. He actually, before he played in the Q, he played for Red Bull Academy in Salzburg, Austria. And this is a program that our own Ken Campbell wrote about a couple of years ago. They were just getting it off the ground. And the idea was essentially to have this, like, new prep academy owned by Red Bull, the energy drink, and they wanted to sort of build something up, you know, almost, it kind of sounded like it was going to be like a Shattuck St. Mary's Europe in a way. And some of those initial players are now coming up for the draft now. So you have Noah Dobson, who's the best player to come out of that crop. But also Sampo Ranta, who's in the USHL right now. He's kind of a borderline first rounder, maybe a second rounder at this point, like an early second rounder. And then Ryan Savage, the son of Brian Savage, right, the former Montreal Canadian. He's also in the USHL. He's probably like a mid-round pick. But they were all on that Red Bull Academy team run by Pierre Paget, who, you know, if you're an NHL fan that remembers the 80s, Pierre Paget, very famous guy. So he's running the program over there. And yeah, it was kind of an interesting experiment, and Dobson was part of it. And now he's in the Quebec League, and he's really impressing folks. You know, I was just talking to a scout the other day that says he's not even close to his ceiling yet. Like, there's so much upside. And, you know, in his time with the Titan, you know, he has been adjusting back to North America in his short Quebec League career. But he has been excellent this year. He's probably playing too much, which can happen with junior teams that aren't super deep. So, you know, talking to another scout, he was saying sometimes you can see he's trying to conserve his energy because he's playing like half the game. But, you know, when he's at his best, he is a great mobile defenseman. He's already 6'3", skates really well, and he still has a frame to build off. You know, that scout said, wait until he gets another 20 pounds on him. You know, it's just going to be like crazy unstoppable. So he's a point per game player as a defenseman, second highest scorer on the team behind forward Antoine Morand, who was an Anaheim Ducks pick. So a lot of potential in Noah Dobson, and right now I have him in the top 10. It's going to be a very interesting draft because there are so many great mobile defensemen, but I mean, he's got a lot of good elements.
Interesting. I can't get out of my head when I hear Red Bull Academy. I just feel like Emilio Estevez should be coaching the Mighty Ducks, and this is the villain team they're playing at the end of the movie.
Right.
The Red Bull Academy, they're juicing, they're drinking Red Bull in their water bottles. Yeah. I'm sorry, my mind wanders when I hear that name.
They're like
Red Bull,
fake, the evil bad Red Bull Academy. Austrian accents. And
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
The Aussie Red Bull Academy.
Yeah.
Now it's time for our team spotlight, and it's the LA Kings. And they're a fun team to talk about right now because for years they've been the team kind of selling off their parts, trading away their first-round picks, trading away their prospects during cup runs. But now they're starting to change into a team that needs to rebuild, and they finally got a top, I think, 11 draft pick last year in Gabe Vilardi. So let's talk about their prospects, I guess, starting with Vilardi and the OHL kids.
Yeah, and I liked – I liked LA's draft class in 2017. I thought they had some good moves there, and Vilardi kind of fell to them. You know, at one point he was thought of maybe being top five, but he's not a dynamic skater, but he's so good at holding on to the puck, and he's one of those guys that can kind of slow the game down in that regard, so he doesn't have to be lightning quick, but I can understand why some other teams might have shied away because of that. You know, started off the year, it was kind of tough. He had a back injury that he had to deal with, sort of a back ailment, so he missed a lot of time. And he was actually traded from the Windsor Spitfires to the Kingston Frontenacs. Kingston loading up this year, trying to do some damage in the OHL's Eastern Conference. Vilardi has been fantastic since he got there. I believe he has 31 points in 15 games. Mm. So he's just motoring. And this is a guy that has already won the Memorial Cup. Did it in his draft year with the Spitfires. So he brings a lot of good experience to the Spitfires. Two more OHL players that I would make note of. Matthew Villalta, a goalie they picked up in the draft from Sault Ste. Marie. We had Kyle Raftus on the podcast the other week, and he was talking about Villalta and how good he's been for them. And, you know, we're not seeing a lot of elite goaltenders lately, particularly in the CHL. And I feel like Villalta actually deserves that mantle. You know, you got Carter Hart, you know, we know him. Mm-hmm. I'd say Michael DiPietro, the Vancouver Canucks pick, falls in that category. There's a couple more kids, but Villalta, you know, he's got that great potential. And the fact that he started so many games already in his junior career, I think really gives him a leg up on some of the other young netminders. And it'll be fun to see what he does from here on out. I wonder what kind of opportunities he'll get for the World Juniors next year. And he's got a good frame, so I think he's going to be one to watch. And the last player I'll mention, Jacob Moverer, who plays for Mississauga. From Sweden originally, he's an import. Been to the World Juniors a couple of times. He's a big defensive defenseman. I'm not super high on his decision-making or his skill set, but when I look at the Kings organization, I mean, they're a heavy organization, and I wonder if this pick, when they made it, was kind of aimed at that. Hmm. He could be that bottom pairing, you know, heavy shutdown guy. That's sort of the ceiling I see for him right now.
I gotcha. What about over in the dub, guys like Jared Anderson Dolan and Cale Clegg?
Yeah, Cale Clegg, another guy that got traded this year. Obviously, he was with the Brandon Wheat Kings. Now with the Moose Jaw Warriors, Moose Jaw, one of the top teams in the dub. They have a great defense core because along with Clegg, they also have Josh Brook, the Montreal pick, and Jet Wu, who's up for the draft this year. So Clegg's going to get a lot more playoff experience. He's already been on runs with the Wheat Kings, so he'll help a lot out in Moose Jaw. And then Jared Anderson Dolan in Spokane. Another player I was pretty high on last year where, you know, he doesn't put up like a boatload of points, but he's got a really nice offensive dimension. Like, he gets his. But he's also very responsible. He's a 200-foot guy. He's a character player. So he's developing nicely with the Chiefs. And, you know, with Kyler Yamamoto back and then Ty Smith on the back end, I think the Chiefs will be a fun team to watch for the rest of the season.
Good. What about over in the college ranks? It's the Mikeys show. Multiple Mikeys, multiple prospects.
Multiple Mikeys.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like something on Rick and Morty. It's multiple Mikeys on interdimensional cable. Mikey Anderson, yeah, playing for Minnesota Duluth. He was at the World Juniors with Team USA. I thought he was pretty good there. This is the kind of guy where, you know, when he's playing well, you don't necessarily notice him. He's the kind of guy that doesn't make mistakes. He can get the puck up the ice and just sort of make those smart plays. He has some offense to his game, and he is the younger brother of Joey Anderson, the New Jersey Devils pick, who captained Team USA at the World Juniors to that bronze medal. Sticking in Minnesota with St. Cloud State, Mikey Isamont, who was a late-round pick, and a bit of a late bloomer, not a huge kid, but really putting up some nice numbers for the St. Cloud State Huskies. This is a kid where, you know, I think once he gets to the pro ranks, we can really kind of suss out what his value is. But I think, you know, based on where the Kings got him in the draft, I think this is a pretty savvy move. And then quickly, one other kid I'll mention, Cole Hultz, playing for Penn State. He's a freshman defenseman, second highest scoring blue liner on the Nittany Lions. So again, you know, these late round picks where, you know, you do your research and you take some chances. Cole Hultz played in the USHL last year for Madison. So far, looking like a pretty good pick.
Good. And down in the AHL, we have a goaltending prospect, and we have a couple other skaters that were on the fringe of making the team to start the season. So tell me about them.
Yeah, starting out with the goalie, Cal Peterson. And I'm sorry, Buffalo Sabres fans, but you did draft Cal Peterson. He chose not to sign with the Sabres, which is kind of funny because I was thinking about it before we started, and it's like, man, given how Buffalo is going, like, if he had signed with them, he might be, like, playing a couple of games at the end of the season in the NHL. Yeah,
especially if Robin Leonard gets traded.
Yeah, but Cal Peterson decided that he would prefer to be in the LA Kings organization, and he's been very good for the Ontario Reign down in the AHL. You know, he's got good size. And when he was with Notre Dame, he had some lights out performances. Like, this is the kind of kid that, you know, he'll steal you like a double overtime game, or like he'll throw up, you know, like a 50 save shutout when you need it. You know, he'll have those high highs. So far in his pro career, looking pretty nice. And as you mentioned, you know, a couple of guys on the cusp. Paul Ledoux, the defenseman with some very nice offensive weapons at his disposal. He's been called up. And I actually saw a funny quote on Twitter the other day from Ontario's coach. When he told Paul Ledoux he was going up, he said, "I never want to see you again." So, yeah, Mike Stuther is kind of a legend in the Kings organization. He's the coach there in Ontario, and a pretty good quote at that. And then Mike Amadio, who is a very good junior player with North Bay, put up a ton of points. Very responsible guy. He's gotten some looks with the Kings as well. So you got a lot of guys that are sort of tweeners right now on that Ontario team. Michael Mersch, he's put up some pretty good numbers for them as well. And with LA, I mean, you got to wait because they're a pretty deep team right now. But some of the young guys getting some shots, and, you know, Ontario doing all right.
And lastly, in the KHL, someone whose contract status we are monitoring closely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you always got to look up the contracts with the Russian players. And luckily, the KHL page lists them, which I think is a nice service. Yeah, Alexander Dergachev, this is a kid that I liked a lot during his draft year, and particularly when Russia lost the gold medal game to Canada at the World Juniors in Toronto. There was a battle between Alexander Dergachev and Darnell Nurse behind the net, and I just call it the shift or the battle because it was just these two big dudes just like smashing into each other like rhinos, trying to get possession of the puck, you know, trying to make something happen. It was late in the game too, if I'm not mistaken. And that was just fun. So Dergachev, obviously, he's got some great size. Not the fastest kid in the world, but he's got some nice offense to his game. He's playing for Spartak right now in Moscow. And as you alluded to, his contract with Spartak, according to the KHL website, expires April 30th, 2018. So if the Kings are high on him, I would suspect that we're going to see them jump on that, try to get him over here. Maybe they can get some games, depending on what Ontario is doing at the time. Maybe he can get some games in right away. But I think it's best for him at this point in his career to come over and learn the North American game and get adapted to it if the Kings like what they see so far. He's having a decent year. He's got like 9 points with Spartak in about 22 games. And, you know, in Russia, they don't play the young kids that much, so anything you can get out of them early on is pretty good.
Good. Well, that's it for this week, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. And in the weeks to come, we'll have to keep a close eye on the prospects around the NHL as they could be finding new addresses with the trade deadline on the way.